All right, then. Allan Gray, which owns 16% of NetOne, the parent company of CPS, has broken its silence on this ongoing controversy surrounding social grants. It says, according to reports this morning, that it is considering calling a shareholders meeting in order to deal with this issue. Let's talk now to the chief operating officer at Allan Gray, and that's Rob Dawa, who joins me on the line. Mr. Dawa, nice talking to you. Good morning.
Hi, Kalani. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for your time. I suppose the big question is, has Allan Gray been benefiting from illegal deductions at the expense of the most vulnerable in our society?
Kalani, no. So when we first invested in this company, we were quite careful to do some due diligence on what they'd been up to because there were news reports about the integrity of management. So we dug around quite a lot, and we were given some comfort by several court cases that found that they hadn't been making illegal deductions and that they hadn't been sharing data improperly between their different subsidiaries, some of which have this, you know, they've got CPS, which has a kind of a very important job that all of us needed to do well, and all of us need to be able to trust CPS to do its job without being, unethical. Over time, and especially in the last 3 or 4 months, there's been anecdotal evidence, and then yesterday again in an article, I think quite strong anecdotal evidence that what was in the courts wasn't the full picture, and that's made us more and more concerned. So our job as shareholders is not to support management, but rather to hold them to account. And increasingly, as we see things that we think are problematic, we have to ratchet up how we hold them to account. First by speaking to them, which we've done repeatedly over the last year, and then by writing to them, which we've done most recently last week, to exhort them to come to a proper way of extending the current contract and suggesting to them that they call a holiday on deductions, for instance, for air times, and that they offer people chances repeatedly in their home language to withdraw from life insurance policies. And then finally, if none of that works, although we're not in control of the company, we do have the option to call a shareholders meeting and to ask other shareholders to express their view on whether, you know, this is a company that that's being run by the right people. So that's the sequence of events, Polani. We don't think that it would be the right thing for us to sell the shares. We've had some pressure to sell these shares. I don't think that's the right thing for us to do. I don't think that would be the right thing for society for us to do because, you know, we sell the shares to someone else and the other people may well take a different view. They may well say, oh, you know, let's see if we can profit from this.
Yeah.
We're as responsible South Africans. I think we're the right kind of owner for this stock, but it does mean that that we have to hold management to account, and we are most definitely doing that.
You know, you're talking about profits, Mr. Dawa, because yesterday outside court, Serge Belamont, the chief executive officer, was talking about these profits. In fact, he says that actually investors would prefer a 30% or 40% profit out of this deal. Is that the mandate that as investors you've given the executive management?
Kalani, I was astounded to hear him say that. So just to make it absolutely clear, in case he wasn't clear from the letter last week from us, we would be very happy if the company made no profit at all from the extension of the contract. We're only 16% shareholders, so we would also like to hear publicly from other shareholders if they want him to make lots of profits. But I'd be surprised if they said that. So in case management aren't clear on that point, we would be very happy for him not to make any money at all out of the extension and simply to cover costs and, if necessary, for those costs to be audited by the Auditor General.
Very interesting. But also another comment that came a couple of days ago from the finance minister was that he's actually quite an arrogant person, talking about your chief executive officer. And apparently, as investors, you've also commented on his public posture.
Yeah, we're faced a little bit in a different way with the same dilemma that the Constitutional Court faces. So this man has, he's technically very strong and he's competent, but so removing him, of course, would potentially cause a problem for the company and may cause a problem for all of the him and the board, may cause a problem for all the people that depend on the company now for their social grants. And yet at the same time, I don't want to get too personal, but he doesn't, and the public utterances of this company don't seem to get that they're in financial services, and that's, you can't be in that business unless you earn the trust of your customers. It's like this is a business of trust. And they don't seem to get that. They seem to be acting in public as though they're still a pure technology business, which I don't know. Yeah. So I think his comments around the Constitutional Court in the last couple of days have been insensitive. The company, I see, put out a SENS announcement this morning apologizing for that. I don't think they apologized in strong enough terms, for what it's worth.
But I suppose, you know, the final question for you, Rob, is whether or not, as Alan Gray, can you make any changes? Can you instill the values that you are talking to us about of this company that's sensitive about what's happening in South Africa? Can you ensure that that is instilled within CPS?
Kolani, as I said, we're not in control of the company, but 16% does allow us to call a shareholders meeting, and it does allow us through that to ratchet up pressure on management. And then sometimes people react, even if you're not in absolute control, people react to pressure.
Sure.
So we're hoping that they will do that.
Rob, I hope you don't mind. I've got one investor, Alan Gray investor, who has called. Stan has got a view on this issue. If you don't mind, just hold the line. Stan, what would you like to say to the chief operating officer?
I would like to say hello, Kolani.
Hi.
Hello, guys. I would like to say pull the other one, Alan Gray. There's frustration. I mean, more than two years ago, it was identified that this business was handling a contract illegally. You still continue to invest. It's actually ridiculous. I think you guys knew who you were dealing with. It's infuriating because I've benefited as a result of my investment, probably from people who was stolen from. And that is absolutely frustrating. Alan Gray, absolute no-no. Thank you.
Oh, so that's Stan then, quite very strong, Rob.
Yeah. Kolani, so 2 years ago specifically, there was a consumer tribunal hearing where they had access to an independent audit by KBMG, and they found that the company was doing nothing wrong in the way that it was lending or in the way that it was selling products. And we relied on that, and I don't think that's unfair. But of course, we have our ears and our eyes open, and as things in the last few months have changed, we've also reacted to that. In terms of the original contract, the tender contract, it went through the courts. We invested in 2012, and it went through the courts after that. The Supreme Court of Appeal actually found that the contract was fine and that the tender process was fair. And when it got to the Constitutional Court, they found differently. So, you know, it's also that process was contested. I don't think it's fair to say that it was absolutely clear that this company was operating illegally.
All right. Rob Dow, I've got to thank you for your time this morning as Chief Operating Officer at Alan Gray. I'll take your